This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Ram Power Days. Get your new 2020 Ram Bighorn today.
Boomer Esiason brought to you this week by Town Fair Tire and by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Also brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Arbella Insurance, and by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. Boomer, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning? I know, tough game yesterday, so you guys must be pretty down, I'm sure.
Well, I will say one thing. You won't have to move me 6 feet away from you during this interview like you did Phil Sims yesterday.
Phil Sims has a problem. He doesn't stand on his mark on the floor, so the lighting goes bad and everybody gets mad. And I feel bad for the lighting director. His name is Lenny. Lenny works so hard to make us all look good. Now, that's easy for me, but it's very hard for Phil. So he needs all the lighting he can get, and he keeps kind of meandering away from his mark on the floor. You see, well, these are the things that we deal with in retirement.
I know. People think it's easy. Boomer.
It's not easy.
So it was not easy for the Patriots yesterday, and I'm wondering if you feel like they were exposed by the Broncos yesterday.
You know, that's a good question. I would say that they are missing half their football team. I tried to give a kind of a statement about how many guys are out on the COVID list, how many guys have opted out, and how many guys have left free agency. And it really is. I mean, it's amazing. It's like an all-pro team of players that are not playing for the Patriots. And Cam Newton's being asked to do a lot. I mean, he's tried there. They're asking him to run with it. They're asking him to throw it. They're throwing it to him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things going on with him. He's a great athlete. When he plays great and he's accurate and he's getting the ball out on time, you know, it's fantastic to watch. But, you know, this is what happened to him in Carolina when he was there. They were asking him to do everything. And, you know, he takes it all on his shoulders without complaint. So while I do give him a ton of credit for how hard he played yesterday and how much it means to him, you know, it obviously is, apparent that there are weaknesses in the Patriot offense under the current state, especially on the offensive line.
So you think it's more about a lack of personnel than it is the time off? Because I think the automatic question is, why is a guy like Mike Vrabel able to get the Titans ready after 16 days off and Bill Belichick isn't? But
better players, okay. Honestly. And, yeah. They haven't, they lost Terrell Lewan yesterday, it looks like, to an ACL, which is a huge loss for them. He's one of their best offensive linemen. But, you know, this is what's happening all over the league. Teams are losing players to significant injuries and then also the COVID-19 list. But, like, when I watch the Patriots play right now, you know, they don't have the wide receiver core that the Tennessee Titans have. Ryan Tannehill is having an MVP-type season. You know, Cam Newton's in a new place with new players. They're trying to use his skill set to their best ability on offense, meaning that, you know, every hit that he takes a little out of you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big you are, how much of a Superman you may be. That's just a lot. I mean, I feel like when I watch him and I watch Carson Wentz, they're like almost crash test dummies when they're playing. And I do believe that there has to be more practice for the Patriots. I think Bill Belichick is 100% accurate in that statement because, like I said, this is Cam Newton. He's played a handful of games with his teammates. And what we saw yesterday was one of those, you know, tough games to grind through. And they still almost had a chance to win. But they're just not good enough right now offensively.
Boomer, when you talk about personnel, I think the one thing that's really glaring to me is the fact that they have no production out of the tight end position. You talk about the Tennessee Titans. I think they have two or three guys that they get the football to. The issue with New England is that they got to be able to, in their passing game, have more than, really, in my opinion, it's Bird. He's their best offensive player. I don't know what's going on with Julian Edelman, but the tight end position is really, really an issue with this team.
Especially when you hit him and Izzo fumbles.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That's another part of it. And then you turn on the late game and there's Rob Gronkowski looking like Rob Gronkowski used to look in New England, which compounds the problem. And Tom Brady plays well and they beat Aaron Rodgers. So, when you start comparing apples to apples, some of the apples turn into lemons on the Patriots right now. And I just think it really comes down to the offensive line is banged up. They lost another guy yesterday. You're playing with a lot of backups all over the place. You know, this is the same thing that, you know, San Francisco went through. And they went through it for about 3 weeks. And then last night, all of a sudden, they had their best game of the season by beating the Rams. So these things go up and down in the NFL. I would just say that the Patriots are going to be in the mix. There's no question about that in the AFC. But the real question comes down to is, you know, when are they going to get all their players back? How significant are these injuries? And will Cam Newton get back to the Cam Newton that we saw in the early part of the season? And I don't even know what the effect of COVID-19 is on Cam Newton. Yesterday, it didn't seem like he lost any energy. It looked like the energy was there. It just looked like they were off a step and he was behind guys, and it wasn't one of his more accurate games.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, you picked him as MVP over Russell Wilson.
All right, that was before the game.
Before the game. I just want to know, have you changed your mind on that? Do you want that one back?
I mean, first of all, it's a question that they ask after 5 weeks, for God's sake. So we have to answer it because we're in TV and that's what we do. But I thought, a very sound couple of reasons why, going into the game, he was my MVP. Number one, he had only been sacked 3 times. And number two, he hadn't thrown a freaking interception until yesterday. And he threw 2 of them in 3 passes, and both of them ended up in the end zone. One was a pick 6, and the other one was inside the 5-yard line. So those are backbreakers. Those are momentum killers. And they were leading 10-0 at the time. So we have a long way to go. He had an off day. I actually thought he might have even gotten hurt yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see their injury report coming forward to see whether or not he has a hamstring injury or not, because it looked like early in the game he was wincing and may have suffered a hamstring injury.
Teddy Bruschi was on this station last week saying the Steelers are the best team in the AFC. Wiggy says it's the Patriots. I think the
I mean, Wiggs, come on. Boomer,
that was before the game, Boomer. Just like what your Aaron Rodgers picked. That was before the game.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the Titans are undefeated. I think the Titans look fantastic. Who do you think is the best team in the AFC?
Well, I guess we're going to find out next week because Pittsburgh and Tennessee play each other. And there is a team by the name of the Kansas City Chiefs that's pretty damn good. The Buffalo Bills are pretty good. The Indianapolis Colts are pretty good. I just think that there are a number of really good teams out there. It's hard to say who is overall the best because in the middle of the season, we could wake up tomorrow and there'd be a total COVID-19 list on one of these teams, and they may have to go through what the Patriots have gone through, maybe what the Tennessee Titans have gone through. But, you know, yesterday, another huge injury for Pittsburgh. They lost Devin Bush. Looks like he's going to be out with an ACL now for the year. And he's one of their best linebackers, one of their faster linebackers that gets from sideline to sideline faster than most running backs. So that's another huge loss for them. I would just think that, the way that Ryan Tannehill is playing, he's now in the MVP conversation with 10 games to go. And I think the way that Ben Roethlisberger has come back and led the team, it should be a great game. I think if I had to put my crystal ball glasses on, Pittsburgh, New England, Kansas City, Buffalo, those will be at least 4 of the 7 teams, maybe even Indianapolis, 5 of the 7 teams that will be in the playoffs when we get there.
Boomer, with regard to the COVID list that you just mentioned, I'm kind of curious from a player perspective. You know, you get a lot of guys being put on IR, practices are being missed. The whole dynamic is really different. Do you think guys are concerned about their own stats going forward, or does everyone look at this as kind of an asterisk season across the league?
Yeah, that's a good question, Danielle. I think we always worry about our own stats, whether it's COVID-19 or not. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, get empty calorie stats late in games when their team is down by like 3 or 4 touchdowns. I could think of many quarterbacks that do that. But we're all worried about our speed quotient on Madden and, you know, where we line up and all of that. And then we look at all the fantasy football statistics and who had the best game. I mean, we're all so bombarded by statistics. I would say all players are worried about that. And, you know, when they tell you after the game is over, you didn't play well. Yeah, but my team won, and that's all that matters. They're going to go back to the practice field, and they're going to try to get whatever they got wrong the day before right and get it right again. That's why, you know, like a guy like Philip Rivers, for instance, you know, they've lost 2 games because he's played really bad out in Indianapolis, to Jacksonville, and to Cleveland. And he talked all week long about how he was going to come back and have a great game. And he did against Cincinnati, leading his team to a 31-27, comeback win against the Bengals. And he threw for 3 touchdown passes, and he looked like the Philip Rivers of 10 years ago. Now the question is, can he continue to look that way, and can he still be a force for Indianapolis moving forward?
Wiggy mentioned Edelman. He was not a factor at all yesterday. What, if anything, do you think is going on there?
Well, you know, he actually had one of his best games ever with Cam Newton a couple weeks back before the COVID-19 hit. So I don't know if anything's going on there. I just think yesterday was one of those games where they were off. They just look off. This is not a Patriot-esque game, even though the game was close. I would think for their defense, you know, tightening up in the red zone and forcing six field goals for Denver was a really good performance. It was the offense that didn't do its job, and they're the ones that need the most practice. I think that's exactly what Bill Belichick is alluding to, and they just don't look right. I don't know if you'll interview Cam anytime soon.
Today.
Oh, you will?
9:30.
Okay. Yep. All right, 9:30. So, you know, the question that I would ask is just like, how much of missing practice is really causing a guy like Julian Edelman to almost like not be involved in the offense? And that's an important question, because the practice aspect to it, especially with the intricacies of the Patriots' offensive system, you know, are so vital for them to be successful, especially with a quarterback that's only been in it for about 6 to 8 weeks. You know, again, Cam is an unbelievable athlete, so he can do a lot of things that mask and camouflage the mistakes that are going on, either the ones that he's making or the ones around him that are being made. So he can escape from a sack. He can run over a guy. They can devise plays to use his skill set, which I think Josh McDaniels has done brilliantly up to this point. But the lack of practice and the lack of playing together with people really is showing itself.
Boomer, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people don't really understand is the physical reps that you need on the football field. Talk a little bit, especially from, you know, the quarterback to receiver position. I know for me, it was all about building chemistry and getting the quarterback to know how I run, you know, my routes and what I like to do. Same for him. And for you as a quarterback, talk about those on-field reps and just more about the chemistry and the timing when it comes to route running. And I think that's the thing that they're missing here.
You know, Wiggs, I wouldn't sit here and tell you guys, I told you so, you know, but I told you so. I mean, early in the beginning, that, you know, for 20 years, you know, Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, and for a 4-year span there, Josh wasn't there, but Tom had been in this offense for 20 years and it's so intricate. And, you know, when you think about some of the biggest catches that have been made from the wide receivers of the New England Patriots over the last 15 years, 20 years, especially those in the playoff for the Super Bowl. I mean, I can't tell you how many times a ball was thrown behind a receiver purposely, because that's where the accuracy comes in, throwing it away from a defender, and the receiver coming up with a huge catch on third down and converting a 3rd and 4 or a 3rd and 7. You know, and then eventually they'll get to throwing the seam patterns, and they'll throw the underneath slant patterns and things that nature. And Tom will hit guys, you know, where he can, you know, where they can run after the catch. So Cam Newton is now in this offense. They are running different plays because of who he is as an athlete. But then they're also asking him at times to try to do what Tom Brady did with the accurate throws underneath. And the more practice you have, the more timing develops and the more trust that you have with each other. Even like on fourth down yesterday with N'Keal Harry, I'm not sure if that was a poor route by N'Keal or that was just a poor throw by Cam. That's probably another question you can ask him. And just say, you know, was that, you know, where is that ball supposed to be? Was it supposed to be inside or outside? And those are the things that start to show up when you lose, especially when you only score 12 points.
All right, Boomer. Well, we'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we're talking about a different result.
And hopefully whatever I say on the NFL next week, NFL Today next week, actually,
right,
you know, comes true, and then you guys can bring that up.
Let's hope.
Thank you, Danielle. I appreciate
that.
At least I know
buddy.
Somebody in there has my back.
I got you.
Yeah. Well, it's because of the flowers. You bribed her with the flowers.
Well, never forget.
Yes. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You guys have a great week.
See you, Boomer.
Later.
See you
guys.